is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag."
Hey, the same way that my daddy did. With stars and stripes, an eagle flies. Wear the stars and stripes, and the eagle flies.
Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green
Beret. Dear Uncle Sam, I just got your telegram, and I can't believe that this is me, shaken like I am. For it said, "I'm sorry to inform you."
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, I just got to remember to push the right button at the right time. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, the 6th of May. Got a lot of stuff. Man, we got a lot of good stories tonight. And I, by the way, I think some of the stories Amy had there were pretty interesting also. She works hard to try to get a good show going for you guys, so she appreciates your comments and stuff. Let me go over here. I think everything should still be good. I'm just going to take a quick double check here and make sure that, also I want to see who all is on here. Well, that didn't work right. Let's try that again. Okay, there we go. All right, Hazy Bound's been here for a minute. Oh, wait. Got to do something here real quick. All right. And let's see, Desert Rat's back. Good to see you again. And Doc and the Tinker. Granny Red's joined us. Minnie and Nan, Yakima Glock, T-Bow. Couple of anonymous there. So. All right, well, we'll get started. We got kind of a wide variety of stuff tonight, but it's all things that kind of caught my eye. I kind of save things through the week and share them with you guys when it comes time to do the show. So it there's a couple things about some training issues here and always the politics and the jackbooted thug stories, and one thing or another, we've got a little bit of everything, full gamut tonight. So, just a second, let me get everything pulled up here where I can flow smoothly. Let's see, let's start at all the way at the end here and work our way up. This is a great story. It's another... what would you call it? A blow to the tyrant here. It is now a court ruling that sets a precedent to protect the civil liberties of passengers in traffic stops. And I think this is awesome, because just because you ride with somebody and they get stopped, they do something, they get in trouble, and you just happen to be a victim of happenstance and happen to be there at the wrong place at the wrong time, you are subject to be searched and everything else. Well, maybe not anymore, at least not according to this court ruling. It says police officers will no longer be able to search the passenger of a vehicle during a traffic stop based solely on the driver's consent for the officer to search the vehicle after a recent Michigan Supreme Court ruling. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. The story's not that interesting. It's just a guy. You know, one thing about this, and I talked about this the other day, people are becoming more aware of their rights. Still not the amount of people that I'd like to see do this, but we're seeing more and more people that look at this and say, hey, there's something called the Constitution in there, and there are some protections in there for me that I need to check on in this instance. I don't think that was right. And some of them, it may take, you know, a year, two, three, four, 5 years before they get it figured out. But a lot of them are doing it, and I think we're seeing more and more. This was actually a unanimous decision also. It says a passenger's personal property is not subsumed by the vehicle that carries it. So I think that's awesome. When asked if the ruling will make it more difficult for an officer to perform his or her duties, this guy, who is this guy? Let's see. Let me back up here a little bit. All right, why am I missing this? This just didn't appear out of the clear blue sky. So, well, I don't know who the guy is. But he said, when asked if the ruling will make it more difficult for an officer to perform his duties, he said, the Fourth Amendment does that. If an officer thinks that the Fourth Amendment makes it harder to do his duty, then he probably needs to get another job. You know, it would seem the opposite to me. We have these guidelines set forth by this document, and it says what I can and cannot do in the performance of my duties. So it seems to me that that would be easier. What that means is the Fourth Amendment makes it more difficult for him to keep the revenue generating machine running. It makes it more difficult to achieve convictions when little pesky things like the Fourth Amendment and the Second Amendment and First Amendment, you know, those kind of things, the Bill of Rights type things, get in the road sometimes. So I think that that is awesome. If giving the police discretion to search whatever they want, whenever they want, was a concern for our founders, they would not, if giving the citizens a concern for them, they would not have enacted the Fourth Amendment. Police are necessary. I have friends who are police, retired police, but police are part of the government, and the Constitution limits government power. Conservatives as well as liberals should be concerned with giving the government too much power. Well, I agree. I think that's awesome. So, thought I had another one here that was kind of similar. This one is a little bit similar, kind of, maybe not too much. But, brand new story. Not even a week ago. Sheriff deputies, are no longer responding to calls in Portland, Oregon. The sheriff there, this is in Clackamas County, the sheriff there sent an email to his deputy saying, and I quote, "I will not place you at unnecessary personal and professional risk." So it said that the city of Portland is largely patrolled by the Portland Police Bureau and receives support from neighboring counties like Clackamas Sheriff's Department. "With this decision, remaining officers in the area will no doubt feel the stress of being understaffed." Well, you know, you should have thought about all this before some of these stupid laws that you passed and some of the things that you let people get away with. Portland is bracing for its next protest. Well, this next protest has already gone by. It was May 1st. That's 5 days ago. And a protest for immigrant workers' rights is set for downtown. In 2017, 25 people were arrested at the gathering after the rally turned into a violent clash. I remember that. As a matter of fact, we talked about that on the show when it happened. Okay, well, that's enough of that one. I think I've got that other story here. If you've been watching Facebook and everything, this was probably the most awesome story I've seen for a while. This is when MSNBC, of all people, openly admitted on the air in public for all the world to hear, admitted that the rights for citizens to have guns matters. I was floored. I was, I looked to see if this was satire, which is the first thing I expected, which caused me to do some digging and make sure I wasn't posting something that was not true. You know, I try to make sure all my stuff is verified when I put it up. And in the same network that employs, what's her name, Rachel Maddow, I think her name, Maddow. Anyway, they just admitted that only the military having guns is a problem. Now, they were talking about Venezuela, but still, if that's, we'll take anything we can get. During this thing, they said Maduro still controls the military. You have to understand, in Venezuela, gun ownership is not open to everybody. So if the military has the guns, they have the power. And as long as Maduro controls the military, he controls the country. That is, I know they were talking about Venezuela. I don't think they realized what they said when they said it. I don't think they realized what an impact this had on listeners and gun owners and stuff here in the States when they said that. So that's pretty cool. Look at something going on in the chat room here. All right, let's back up here. Go back to another thing that has to do with the Bill of Rights. A lot of that going around these days. Coach. This was in New Mexico, sadly. Actually, it was in I remember Jason used to be with me all the time. It was in his hometown in Animas. Animas High School. The head coach was forced to resign over T-shirts. High school basketball coach let his players wear T-shirts that had, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so a handful of atheists complained. I've said this I don't know how many times on the show. So we get this, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Yeah, they are a group of some kind. I guess they have some legitimacy in somebody's mind. And if there's not any of them on the team, if there's not any of them in this, so they just heard about it and come from wherever they come from, out from under a rock somewhere, I guess, and jump on these people for having this T-shirt. If you're not part of the school, if you're not on the school board, if you're not the parents of one of the team members or a team member there, you know, you just need to grin and bear it and go on your merry way and just forget it happened. It's none of your business. And it's always just amazed me that the minuscule percentage of people that are atheists, I have nothing to give. If you want to be an atheist, that's fine. That's up to you. You have the privilege, right to do that. It means absolutely nothing to me. Would I like to see you come to Christ? Of course I would. Am I going to try to talk you into it? No, I'm not. If it comes up in conversation, we talk about it, and you don't want to talk about it anymore, that's fine. We'll quit talking about it. I don't care. I really don't. And I don't know, it just amazes me that we let these small percentages of people control everything these other people do. This coach resigned. Nobody on the team complained. According to the story, it doesn't look like any of the parents complained. So this organization here, Freedom From Religion Foundation, said, We're pleased that the Animas school system took us seriously in remedying a constitutional violation. Such behavior cannot be excused in public schools. So these are out-of-town people. They didn't even live there. They heard about it and come from California or wherever they come from. And caused all this problem. School superintendent was quick to throw the Christian basketball coach under the bus. When I observed the players wearing the T-shirts during pregame warm-ups, I immediately questioned the coach and activity director. I gave specific instructions at the time that this was not permissible and was not to happen again. Turns out the T-shirts were provided to the team by a local church youth group attended by many of the students at the school. It's my understanding that the coach often attended and at times led to various activities, including Bible study or lessons. The coach is not holding Bible studies for groups of players or for other students separate from the youth group. The coach, submitted his resignation. And, yes, that aggravates me to death, but anyway. Let's see, let's move along here. This is, we had a story similar to this not too long ago. We've probably had 50 of them over the years. You know, maybe more than that, I don't know. A lot of times they have involved law enforcement officers. Several times they've involved military personnel, present or retired, and sometimes they're just people, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill people that shouldn't have guns. And this is a dad here in Arizona, actually. Faces charges of child abuse and aggravated assault after an accidental shooting left his six-year-old daughter in critical condition. So what he was doing here, of course, he's bawling and squalling and pleading for mercy, and his cash-only bond set at $50,000. If he posts bail, he won't be able to see his six-year-old daughter while the case is pending. Judge said it was a case of extreme recklessness, and the bond was already a fraction of what it was, what it would have been if it had been intentional. But what he was trying to do, again, was teach his six-year-old daughter about gun safety. This always, on the one hand, you got to try to applaud the guy for having the idea that his daughter should be taught gun safety. But the first place, you have to have some idea of what gun safety is and how to perform it yourself. There's been at least two stories, and one of them was, maybe one of you guys remembers, it was several years ago, and I don't remember if the guy was a SEAL or a Ranger or something. He wasn't just your average rank and file run-of-the-mill military guy. He was one of the high-speed, low-drag ninja warriors. And he was teaching gun safety to his girlfriend. And one of the things he said, if I remember right, it was something like, you don't want to do this or something. And put the gun up to his head and pulled the trigger. And, of course, he hadn't cleared the chamber and splattered his brains all over the living room. That's not how you get, I guess that is a good way to get the point across. But I would think there'd be a less messy, effective way to do that. I'm pretty sure we can convince people in some manner to be careful without shooting ourselves. But that's one of several that's happened. We had the one guy that was the instructor at some shooting range back east, Pennsylvania, I think it was, went into a vault in the next morning as they were opening and pulled an Uzi out of the vault, out of this wooden case, and grabbed it by the barrel and pulled it towards him, and a trigger got hung up on something in there, and anyway, it went off while he was pulling it out and shot himself in the head and killed him. Had the little boy that shot himself with an Uzi during instruction. The instructor wasn't instructing very well. Had the little girl here in Arizona that killed her instructor, same reason, same gun. That doesn't make Uzis inherently dangerous. It makes some instructors inherently stupid. You're going to instruct.
But anyway, I don't know how many of those we've had. There's been a bunch of them. So, let's see. Yeah, the rest of it's just about how brave the girl was and all that. It says court documents show that this guy told police he watched a YouTube video to learn how to clean and load the shotgun for the first time. I got to give the guy a little bit of credit for trying to do this right. But, if you're going to do it with a YouTube video, it's like so many other things. When you're looking something up, get it from various sources. Now, whether or not the video was not clear, whether it was correct, he shot his daughter in the belly with a shotgun. Said the intestines were visible when they airlifted the girl out of there. That's not the way you do it. There was a gun safety instructor here says that fact is very concerning. It says the real issue is it's kind of the blind leading the blind. He's trying to teach his daughter firearm safety when it sounds more or less that he was trying to learn firearm safety in his own right. So he's trying to learn it basically on the same day that he's trying to teach it. Ordinarily, that's not the best way to do things, in my mind. But that's just me. That's just the way I think, I guess. That instructor said the guy should have never been handling the gun with his daughter in the room. The YouTube and YouTube should never be the only gun lesson somebody gets. It maybe the video wasn't clear to say that the gun shouldn't have been loaded in the house anyway. First thing, the gun shouldn't have been loaded in the presence of that child in the house, period. Now, we understand that there's self-defense guns, you know, that are put away, locked, made safe in whatever manner that needs to be done to keep the kid from getting a hold of them. But if you're going to be handling the gun in any manner, for whatever purpose, unless it's self-defense at the time, then it needs to be unloaded. Always start with that and make double sure to check that chamber, check the magazine well on handguns, check the cylinder check the magazine well on semi-automatics, check the cylinder on revolvers, check the chamber on all of them, anything else, pump shotguns, lever action, bolt action, I don't care, single shot. Remove the ammunition source, clear the chamber, double check the chamber and the place where the ammunition source goes, whether it's tubular magazine or box magazine or whatever it may be. And then if you're absolutely positive that all those things are clear and you wind up getting a little careless, you know, usually you can get away with it. Doesn't make it right. Not how you're supposed to do it. But if he would have made sure that gun was unloaded, maybe he wouldn't have had to blow his little girl's guts out on the living room floor. That was not cool. Okay. 6-year-old still in critical condition in the hospital. Left to go with multiple surgeries for her injuries. And he's facing these charges for serious physical injury and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And another thing, I'm not sure that, it's his little girl. I don't know what they can do to him to make this any worse. I don't know that, you know, life in prison or anything is going to make it any worse or if it's going to do any good. I don't know. One of those things. All right, well, I'm going to sneak off here for a minute and get me a good stiff drink of Diet Dr. Pepper, and I'll be back in a minute.
I'll be back.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Let's see if we can wrap up some more of these stories. Let me go see if anybody's even still with me. I'm going to check the chat room here and see. Yeah. Yeah, Copper joined us. Good to see you, Copper. Yeah, Doc, it is pretty amazing. I don't know what gauge the shotgun, whether it was a 410, which is not a gauge, it's a caliber, but 410 or 20 gauge, what size shot was used, or what. It is pretty amazing that she's still alive. If you could see intestines with a shot from a shotgun at point blank range, God has other plans for that little girl later on in life. There was some reason why she's still here. Because typically, shotgun to the gut at that range is generally the end of that chapter, over and done with. But we're glad she is still alive, and I hope it turns out for the dad. It was stupid. I'm not convinced that pressing any serious life changing. Penalties on him is going to make things any better. Shooting your little girl ought to be punishment enough in most cases. But, it was a very, very stupid thing, and I'm sad that a thing of that kind of stuff happens. But okay, this one here, this is one of our, we talked about Alexa and some of these other electronic eavesdropping devices and stuff here the other day, a couple of weeks ago. Well, there's a hacker now that finds that he can remotely kill car engines after breaking into a GPS tracking apps. So these, I am vehemently opposed to getting a car that has OnStar, or any other type of feature like that. I would never own one. This is very, very much where living proof of where those that how's that saying go? Where you that quote? Where you those that will surrender safety for freedom deserve neither, or something like that. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but this is a classic example right there. It is convenient. It's handy. It's fun. It's easy to operate. It's fascinating to see all the things that you can do with some of these things. But in the end, it can be the cause of your demise. Maybe not your death, as it were, but your freedom, the death of your freedom. Let's put it that way. So this guy says, I can absolutely make a big traffic problem all over the world. Now, this guy, this hacker goes by the name L&M, told Motherboard Magazine he hacked into more than 7,000 iTrack accounts and more than 20,000 ProTrack accounts, two apps that companies use to monitor and manage fleets of vehicles through GPS tracking devices. You know what? If they have these things in, well, I know they have them in semis, 18-wheelers, big trucks, he could, or somebody like him, could bring this country to its knees in 24 hours by shutting these trucks down. Now, whether or not there's some kind of a backdoor access to these where it could be recovered and things get back to normal or not, I don't have any idea. But this guy said he was able to track vehicles in a handful of countries around the world, including South Africa, Morocco, India, and the Philippines. On some cars, the software has the capability of remotely turning off the engines of vehicles that are stopped or are traveling 12 miles per hour or slower. By reverse engineering ProTrack and iTrack's Android apps, L&M said he realized that all customers are given a default password of 123456 when they sign up. At that point, the hacker said he brute-forced millions of usernames via the app's API, whatever that is. Then he said he wrote a script to attempt to log in using those usernames and the default password. This allowed him to automatically break into thousands of accounts that were using the default password and extract data from them. You know, we did a show one time on, done it on communication security and stuff, and having better passwords. People, you know, so many people just put in, you know, their birth date or their social security number or 123456 or QWERTY or whatever, you know, the QWERTY off your board. For crying out loud, there's no, and the other people use the same password for everything that they own. And then they get upset when somebody breaks into their stuff and drains their bank account and hijacks their Facebook account and whatever else it may be. This is serious business. This is not, can it happen to you? Damn right it can happen to you. There are hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of hackers out there that are in different levels of different skill levels. And they're looking to steal identities and to steal, account information and stuff, credit cards. Even the simplest thing, a library card account of some kind, or just the simplest little thing. If you use on those simple things your same password that you do on your bank account or to check your credit card, you know, balance or whatever, chances are at some point you're gonna run into problems. And those problems may change your life completely. You know, some of these identity thefts have absolutely destroyed people, put them in the poorhouse. They've lost their homes, they've lost their jobs, they've lost their, you know, vehicles or whatever, their life savings. So, you know, maybe sometime we'll go over that stuff again, that password information and everything. It's been probably, what, a year and a half, 2 years since we did that? But I think it's important information. I think people need to consider that. And, again, your stuff you put on Facebook. People don't realize how devastating this can be, how simple it is to build profiles around what you post on Facebook, about what you say at the beauty parlor or the bar, beer joint or church or whatever around other people. You have to try to be a little more security-minded in everything that you do. You know, if you don't remove the metadata from the pictures from your phone, then you post pictures of everything you do on Facebook or send them in text and stuff like that. You are providing information that can be used to create a profile on you. And it's not hard to do. So I hope you guys will consider that in your day-to-day activities. All right, in Florida, Tebow, it looks like Florida lawmakers have passed a bill to make it a little easier to arm teachers. That's a good thing. At least 25 schools in Florida already used what they call school guardians. They say this could go up substantially if the governor signs this bill that's on its way to him right now. This was 3 days ago, so we may be hearing more about this. This is Senate Bill 7030. Luckily, they have a Republican-controlled Senate there. Passed last month, 22-17. Passed the House on Monday, 65-47. So not by a wide margin, but wide enough. So I don't need to spend a lot of time on that. That's just good news. Oh, speaking of gun safety, you know, those of you that have taken handgun training, even rifle or shotgun or whatever, one of the things that I have stressed, especially when we start getting to a point where you handle guns one-handed, when you're going to shoot with your support hand, when you're going to transfer the gun from one hand to the other, anything other than just plain old, you know, pick your gun up from the table and fire and lay it back down. If you drop your gun, let it fall. People that try to catch them, you know, often will catch it and inadvertently pull the trigger, get the trigger caught on something as it falls. And now there are guns. It's not unheard of for guns to fire when they are dropped, especially older guns, especially guns with modified triggers. You know, there are a number of drop safeties on certain types of guns that makes them pretty safe. So I'm, you know, in my classes, most people are using modern firearms with drop safeties, and it's not a concern. I would say it's not a concern. It's not as big of a concern. But I say if you drop your gun, I stress, don't touch it. Put your hands up, let it fall. If you try to catch it, ain't no telling who might get shot, you know. But this guy here, it doesn't say exactly what happened or what kind of gun it was. But he dropped it, and it went off. Doesn't say whether, you know, what any particulars about why this happened. But it said he was walking in the city when he accidentally dropped his .22 caliber handgun. The gun fired. And, well, we've had stories like this more than once, too. And the same results has been, I don't know, at least three or four, maybe five other stories just like this, where they either reached for the gun, but they didn't have, wasn't carrying it in a holster, or they dropped it, and it shot him in the, he'd rather have not been shot there. I can pretty much guarantee you that. Now, whether it's going to affect his social life in the future or not, I don't know, but I'm sure he didn't like it. And to make it even worse, he was cited for discharging the weapon in the city limits and possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. So after he gets everything taped up, looks like he's going to be going to jail for a little while. Stand by here just a second. Okay, 3 seconds, whatever. Sue me. Let's see where we're at here. First off, I'm going to go check and see if there's anything going on in the chat room. Tebow says they're also passing a law. They're outlawing sanctuary cities. Very good. There's a lot of pushback. Some of these towns, some of these law enforcement agencies, and whatever, they're pushing back. They're tired. They've had it. They see what's happening, and they're not liking it. Texas. Now, I'm not sure why Texas passed this bill. This is kind of a waste of time. It's not a bad thing. I'm assuming it's a good thing, but it's an unnecessary thing. They passed a bill making it clear that guns are allowed in churches. Why do they have to make a bill for that? If they're not disallowed, if there's not anything that says you can't, then you can't. It's that simple. You don't have to ask, well, should I or can I or whatever. And the picture that they have on, and I'm sure the guy's not headed to church. Just shows a guy opening carrying in a ridiculous manner. And it's embarrassing to even see this picture on here. But I'm sure he thinks he's doing a wonderful thing. Bless his heart. Okay, these last two, we're probably going to use up the rest of our time. What's the Boy Scout motto? Somebody tell me that. Raise your right hand with your three fingers up and tell me what your Boy Scout motto is. If I recall from yesteryear, way back when I was a Boy Scout, I believe it had something to do with being prepared. Pretty sure that's exactly what it was anyway. This scout troop or this scout leader, apparently the motto was nothing more than eyewash, something you say, but we're not going to really worry about it too much. We just need to memorize it and say it and go on about our business. Well, because of this, he had a 16-year-old boy died on a less than 3-mile hike here in Arizona in the desert. The whole troop ran out of water. One of them died. They're investigating this to find out why. How could this have been avoided? Well, the easy answer is bring more water. Duh. But a little bit more complicated and more correct thing to do would be to tell these boys, all right, we're going on a hike tomorrow. It's not real long, but it's real hot. And there ain't no Dairy Queens or nothing in between here, no water stops between the car and the top of that mountain and back. So what I want you to do tonight, and I'm going to tell your parents to supervise and make sure it happens, I want all of you to drink plenty of water. I want you to drink water, before you show up in the morning for a hike. And I want you to bring plenty of water. And outline to them about how much water you think they'll need and make sure it happens. If you need to carry an extra, an extra gallon or so yourself to make sure everybody has it, or have couple of gallon containers and switch off, make the boys carry it. So, okay, we got extra water if something happens. Well, park ranger got there with members of the fire department, tried to resuscitate the boy. Too late. So it's unclear if the lack of water led to the boy's death, but apparently they feel like it was. So I'm sure we'll get a backup. Another story on this anyway, before too long. After the investigation. All right, now this one is interesting. Of course, I think the rest of them are interesting too, or I wouldn't have put them up there. Here is a place in my old hometown, Cody, Wyoming. I guess it was my hometown as long as I lived there, wasn't it? It was where my home was. Wasn't born there or nothing, but anyway, Park County, Wyoming, which is where Cody and Powell and some a couple other little towns, is a pretty sparsely populated county. It's a good sized county, but there's just not a whole lot going on up there. They became the first county in the state with an anti-EMP room. I mean, this probably would have been worded better if they would have said an EMP-proof room, probably. But anyway, what makes this interesting is that, there's so many people that poo-poo this and say, oh, yeah, that won't, number one, it won't happen here. Number two, this is the 21st century. Things are protected from that, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is a government entity, and it was paid for by DHS. The Department of Homeland Security funded this project, which tells me one of two things. They either actually believe that something is going to happen and they're trying to protect, government equipment and computers and stuff, or they are perpetuating the fear. They're fear-mongering, just playing this up for everybody and causing a bunch of panic. But, this has, and I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again, and I want you to do it if you didn't do it last time. I want you to watch a YouTube video called Electronic Armageddon. Electronic Armageddon. It's put on there by the History Channel. And it's very, very detailed, well documented about things that could happen and things that have already happened that led up to where we're at now, what to expect from this. And I'm actually doing a class on this this coming Saturday afternoon. I'm doing a lot of classes this Saturday. I'm doing 3 45-minute classes over in Snowflake in Taylor, Arizona, for a preparedness fair over there, and then I got to dash over here and do the class on radios on Faraday protection and accessories for the radios and stuff like that. And then we got a CCW class coming up on June 1st. And a lot of things going on. I actually did a small class today. I had to drive out to a little town just west of here and do a little radio class. And they want me to come back and do one on church security here in about a month. So it keeps me hopping. So this one thing that is a little bit, I guess you'd call it, one thing's for certain about EMPs, and that is that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. There are different levels. We are pretty confident that there could be another naturally occurring EMP, which is called a CME, coronal mass ejection, from the sun. And we're pretty confident that there will be at some point a staged attack, that or there will stage an attack on the U.S. And if it's as bad as it could be, then the shooting bench will be over, and most of our ham radio operation will be over. Your electric toothbrush won't work. Your watch won't work. Your newer model LED flashlight won't work. Your phones are dead. Your car is dead. And then everything else has any type of electronic equipment in it. Will it be that bad? We have no idea. It is possible. I think it's rather unlikely that it would happen over the entire country, maybe in smaller areas. I don't know. But that's the thing. Nobody knows. So preparing for this as best you can, probably not a bad idea. This is going to be, you're going to get one chance to do this right. And if you don't put a few things away, can you imagine your life with no flashlight? Now, people that live in the city and whatnot, it maybe not that big a deal to them. I mean, they think it's not that big a deal because they don't have to go out and feed the animals because it gets dark at 4:30 on a in the middle of the winter. When they have a flat tire on the side of the road at midnight, they just call AAA, and have them come fix it. Maybe they don't miss a flashlight much. When you live in the country, you'll find out how much you like carry. That's part of my everyday carry. It should be yours to carry a flashlight all the time. And I use it, I don't know how many dozen times a day, every day, for something. Now, sometimes I may only use it once or twice, but there's other times I may use it, 30 times a day. I know today I've probably pulled it out and used it probably, I'm going to guess probably 12, somewhere between 10 and 15 times today. And, Yakima Glock, that's good. That's tons of candles and lanterns, but listen to what I'm saying. Watch some of the movies and think about these people that were out camping and they hear wolves snarling in the background just outside that circle of lantern light, holding the candle up. You put a candle and your tinfoil reflector on there, and you can see, what, 30 feet? Now, I've got a flashlight in my pocket right now to let me see 250 yards on a clear night. So I think that, I'm kind of getting off track here, but I think that one of those things that ought to be put in your Faraday, one of your Faraday boxes, one of your Faraday boxes, you should have, you know, more than one. There are some of these items, flashlights, and put a couple of old phones that you're not using. Will the phone system ever come back up? You know, maybe, maybe not. But you still have, if the phone works, you still have other features on that phone that you can use, even whether or not the phone ever comes up. So, yeah, Yakima Glock, I've got a main one. I've got two of them, actually. My two mains are 750 lumens, the one on my AK and one in my other kit, the one I carry in my pocket, depending on which, you know, if it's a work day or just a lounge around day, it's either 80 or 125, 150 lumens. And when you get used to that, and it just stops in 1 second, and none of this works anymore, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for a lot of, it's going to be tough anyway. No use making it any tougher. Put some of this stuff away. Now, it may not be nearly that bad. Some of your, if it's as bad as what it could possibly be, it may even burn the filaments out on some of these light bulbs, on the old flashlights. So, I'm keeping a couple of old ones and a couple of electronic, you know, the modern LED type flashlights, and then putting them away and holding on to them for dear life. We'll see what happens. Well, it is time for me to start easing towards the door and get on out of here. So we'll be back. I'll be back Wednesday with some more spellbinding stories. Sometimes. Oh, Amy's going to ask me if I'm going to tell you about the movie. She told you the name of the movie. What was it? Free State of Jones. And if you want to watch a movie, what was that guy's name? McConaughey or something? Well, what? Michael McConaughey. It's in the Civil War, based during the Civil War. And the entire movie is about liberty and freedom. It's not about the North and the South. This guy was against, you know, really either one of them. They were atrocities performed by both sides. There was, you know, deep racial prejudice on both sides. And he just wanted to live his life and just be this guy. He just wanted to be left alone and just enjoy freedom. He didn't care what governments did or whatever. So eventually, as this came along, he created wrote the document. This is based on a true story. And they wrote the documents and everything and created the Free State of Jones, which is Jones County, Mississippi. And it's an excellent movie, much better than I thought it was going to be. It cost me $3.74. If it wasn't good, I could just chunk it. Who cares? So I was real intrigued with the title of it and reading the description on the back. And it was excellent, excellent movie. I really enjoyed it. So go down to Walmart and see if you go to the discount bin and see if you can find it. Or it may be, actually it is available, because I saw it on the paper and I got the one of the packages that has a regular DVD and the Blu-ray and the password to get it online and all this stuff. So you might be able to find it on Hulu or Netflix, or if you're still doing Netflix, or Amazon or whatever. But look for it and watch it. It's a great show. I think you'll really enjoy it. So with all that being said, I think I'll dash on out of here, and we'll see y'all Wednesday. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.